Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92thegame.com, live inside the Kia Studios right now. It is the late night show. Thomas Mott, Will Pelagic hanging out with you guys for one more hour as we're live until, 2 in the morning. At 92.9 The Game on Twitter to follow the station, at Real Thomas Mott to follow me, and of course at Willie P. Style to follow Will as well. Will, we've been cruising through the first 2 hours.
Giorno.
Final hour here as we're going to get into what's happening around the world of sports, give you an update on that crazy Braves game over at SunTrust Park. Coming up in about, 18 minutes, Carlos Bocanegra was on the morning show at Atlanta United, technical director, getting us ready. I mean, talk about an interview to get you ready for DC United on Sunday. I listened to that as I was driving to Discount Tire to check if I had a flat or not. I thought I had a big old nail was protruding out of it, but it was only in just enough didn't puncture. So
plug
we were good to go.
Got a plug in it?
Zero puncture. It was the tread was thick enough to where I was safe, but I did still wake up super early.
You like that thick tread.
And literally drive all the way to the one Discount Tire in all of Atlanta, and I found it, and the guy walks out and goes, pulls it out with pliers, because I was afraid to do that. So I was like, it's going to start spewing air.
Much.
And he pulled it out, and we were good to go.
I had the worst tire karma with my old car. I went and got a new one with brandy new Michelin tires. I'm very happy.
There you go. All right, well, before we get into, of course, Carlos Bocanegra coming up here in about 17 minutes, and then we'll finish with Caleb Johnson and news you can lose here in hour number three. It is the top of hour number three, which means we got to jump back into what's happening around the world of sports. Did you miss the Braves game? If you did, got crazy in the ninth. We'll tell you about it right now. I mentioned it got crazy in the ninth inning. It really was a typical, 3-1 win for the Braves, and then we got to Luke Jackson.
Very garden variety.
It was fine, right? It was going to be a nice win. You get the win over the Nationals, and then in the ninth inning, one Luke Jackson comes in and gives up a home run and two hits and, of course, the two earned, and suddenly we're tied going into extra innings. Now, thankfully, we had this guy, Will, here, named Josh Donaldson, who's an absolute monster, who had a single to deep left center, and, of course, you had bases loaded. So Freeman scored, or Acuna scored, and then Freeman got the second, Swanson the third. More runs could have scored, but it was the walk-off single that mattered there by Josh Donaldson and essentially saved Luke Jackson's behind there, because are you kidding me? We could have done the whole 3 hours on how much of a disaster this game would have been had Josh Donaldson not bailed out Luke in the 10th inning.
Well, here's my issue. It's been my thesis over the course of the last couple of weeks that the most important position that the Braves need filled still is another starting pitcher, because I think over the long haul of the final 2 months of the season, you will get more leverage and you'll get more of a lift from a starting pitcher, because if you get one of these starters blown up in a playoff game, you're basically done, because you can't go to a bullpen early in a playoff game and expect to keep yourself on schedule for the rest of a series. It's impossible to happen. You can blow a game with a closer. That usually will happen once or twice in a postseason. But I think you are more putting yourself at risk if you're the Braves and you don't add another starter that looks better than what you're getting out of Gausman or Fulton Nevich or insert next man up, because, you know, it didn't work the other night with Kyle Wright. It hasn't worked with Bryce Wilson here recently. You know, Gausman will start Sunday. Fulte is somewhere waiting in the wings. And obviously, there's still some options left available that they think that they can use at AAA Gwinnett. But just in my mind, Thomas, I look at this and say, I still think you need another starter, but after what you saw last night from Luke Jackson, who can you throw out there to trust in the ninth inning?
I mean, maybe Anthony Swarzak comes to mind. Maybe lead into the ninth inning with Sean Newcomb and then go to Swarzak in the ninth.
But here's the problem. You don't fix a problem by creating another.
I know, because then you create the problem when...
Who pitches the eighth?
Yeah.
Or who pitches the seventh?
Yeah, no. Hey,
again, that's the issue, is that you got to go get somebody.
You mentioned Mike Fultonevich. He actually was playing yesterday for Gwinnett against the Iron Pigs. 11-2 win, and he had a 1-2-3 second and fourth innings. Fulte now 4-1. He threw 89 pitches yesterday with Gwinnett. 54 were strikes. He's looked good in the minors. And maybe when he comes back, he could be a solution if
his
head is right, I guess.
Too many of these guys are quad A guys.
Yeah.
Too good for AAA, not good enough for the big club. And that's why I think this, and again, I know people are saying, oh, well, this is too early. Don't waste your shot. Because here's the problem. Everybody in the National League is going to get better over the course of the next couple of years. If you believe this is the year, you go out and you get your starter, whether it's Trevor Bauer. I know that the Giants have said after their recent run that Bumgarner is now off the table. And here's the problem. That's why you don't wait. Because you don't allow a team like the Giants to get a little hope. Because you are sitting now with a situation where 20 of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball feel like they have a chance to make the playoffs.
Braves, again, did get the win 4-3. I will say this. I mentioned starting pitching. Julio Teheran did look good and has looked good in recent starts. 5 2/3, 4 hits, only 1 earned run, and 5 strikeouts. The ERA continues to descend to 3.61. Again, this is game 2 of a 4-game series against the Nationals. They'll have game 3 tomorrow night at SunTrust Park, obviously at 7:20 p.m. first pitch there, and then they will also have game 4 as well. I believe it'll be Mike Soroka on Saturday, again tomorrow. Gossman will be there for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball against Washington, and then it'll be Keuchel, Teheran, and Soroka again through the Kansas City 2-game series, and then game 1 for Friday, the 26th, at Philadelphia, Mike Soroka versus Jake Arrieta on the mound. A tough schedule upcoming. Again, 2 more against Washington starting tomorrow, then 2 more or 2 against Kansas City at home, 3 at Philadelphia, then 3 at Washington again. You got to win these games, and you mentioned in hour number 1, you got to win at least, you know, you got to split the series on all of these, and against the Phillies and then Washington, you got to go 2-for-1, right? I mean, 2-1 in those 3 games, because this would be very, very important going forward.
Very, very important.
The lead in the NL East right now, 6.5 games.
And I think, again, it also puts the onus on that Kansas City series. I think, you know, Kansas City, a team that's reeling, you have to take care of business with that series. Utmost importance, you can't afford to lose one of those 2 games, because those are basically in your lap right now.
Again, we move on here, and what's happening around the world of sports. Day 3 is coming up soon at the Open Championship up there in Ireland, in Northern Ireland. JB Holmes and Shane Lowry share the lead right now at 8-under. You sit there and you go, well, hey, listen, they both shot 68 and 67 respectively, but a lot of guys went low today. Tommy Fleetwood sitting at 3rd at 7-under, shot a 67. Lee Westwood shot a 67 as well. The low scoring was there. The question is, what's it going to look like in terms of weather tomorrow? Jordan Spieth tied for 8. He shot a 67. He's 5-under and 2 strokes back of the league. It's setting up to be a very, very exciting day 3. But again, my one problem with this is, by the time that I'd woken up today, and again, I woke up literally at, 7:30 this morning, the majority of the first couple of groups had already gone all the way in. Like, Fleetwood was on 17 and then ready to go into 18.
I usually love
the Open Championship, but it's like, I can't usually watch half of it.
I usually turn this into appointment listening or appointment watching myself, because I will stay up and I will watch a lot of the golf during this time. You know, I've had situations where my work schedule has worked out to where I was working overnight, so I get to watch a lot of it. So I know I sit in a different position than a lot of people who are listening right now. But, you know, I always love this tournament, and I love the unique nature of it. The one thing, though, that I still don't like is the fact that a lot of the star power was kind of taken out from underneath when you have no Rory, no Tiger, no Phil. I mean, are you going to get me excited about Brooks Koepka, Shane Lowry, and Tommy Fleetwood, and J.B. Holmes? I mean, I look at that, and I look very uninspired. And again, not that Koepka isn't somebody who is a fascinating story. Just something about him just strikes me as very bland.
You don't like Brooks Koepka?
I just think he's more bland than he's very just milk toast, man.
Like how he hates the game, and he's not a fan of golf literally at all, because he said in his pregame stuff, and he said it before on multiple like interviews and radio shows, he doesn't practice unless it's getting ready for like a major, and that's it. He still goes out there and dominates. He was tied for 2nd, I think, during round 1, and then right now, again, he's still in the mix, sitting there on the leaderboard. tied for eighth at 5.
It's like the guy who played Nadal who said he hates tennis.
Yeah, literally. Literally. And to me, it's just fascinating you'd be that talented and yet at the same time not like the sport that you play and yet literally be the best in the world, world number one. You did mention it. No Tiger as he missed the cut 6 over. No Phil and Rory McIlroy. He did battle back after a disastrous opening round, but still misses the cut as well and would not be playing in the weekend on what is essentially his home tournament.
Did you think that the pressure finally got... You think he maybe didn't weigh the pressure of the moment enough, get himself ready mentally enough to deal with all that on his shoulders?
He was the odds-on favorite, right? And the odds-on favorite only because he's played at this one basically his entire life. And yet again, the pressure was there. He had a putt, I think, on 14. Was it 14? It was the par 3 where he missed it for a bogey and then kind of went up to tap it in and was just frustrated and missed it again and then finally got it in and then dropped more strokes. It was a disastrous first round for Rory. He battled it out today, but still was not even close as he finished 2 over in a tie for 44th. Just wasn't even close to being the golfer that he needed to be for this tournament. And finally, here to wrap up what's happening around the world of sports, Atlanta United will big game against DC United on Sunday, a 3:30 pregame. 4 p.m. kickoff here on 92.9 The Game. Yours truly will have the postgame show, or the show after the postgame show for that one.
And then yours truly will follow you.
That's right. So we got a jam-packed Saturday, jam-packed Sunday for you and I both on this station, but also Atlanta United. What needs to be a big game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If they win, there's a chance to have a tie top of the Eastern Conference in the MLS.
You know, the table worked out favorably for them over the last week. Even with the loss to Seattle, I think people thought that loss to Seattle would be a lot more detrimental than it was. The fact that you were able to bounce back with the kind of victory that was very much needed from this Atlanta United squad against a lowly Houston team. You get 5 goals, you gain back some offensive confidence, and maybe put a little bit more of the distance, some of the stuff involving PT Martinez and a lot of the drama that's going on. You might get Barco back. You're not going to get Bello back, but you are going to get maybe some reinforcements in the offing. I think you are much needing these because of the fact that this is about to be a very interesting stretch run, including a couple of games against Orlando, who's fighting for playoff supremacy, and also, of course, you'll have the game against them in the U.S. Open Cup. There'll be a lot of very intriguing matchups over the next month and a half for Atlanta United because they are playing in the very, very big heat of that Eastern Conference, which is very, very crowded.
Will mentioned it. Ezequiel Barco, he returned to training today, and Frank DeBoer thinks he could play in this game. Doesn't mention that he'll start, but he could see some time back out there on the pitch. Be good to see Ezequiel Barco back from that injury. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We come back, our one replay of the day. And when we're just talking to Atlanta United, let's talk a little bit more on the other side of this break. Carlos Bocanegra, Atlanta United Technical Director, was on with the morning show, John and Hugh, as he literally goes through an entire rundown, getting us ready, not just recapping the Dynamo game, but also DC United on Sunday. It's a big one, and Bocanegra broke it down for the guys on the morning show. That'll be up next, and then, of course, news you can lose on the other side of that to close out the show. All right, keep that dial tuned to 92.9 The Game. Don't touch it. Keep it right here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com.
What's never old is the idea of Atlanta United winning a game 5-0, and what a performance they had against the Houston Dynamo. And we welcome into the program, as we do every week, Carlos Bocanegra, Technical Director of Atlanta United, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Good morning, Boca. How you doing this morning, man?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Needless to say, congratulations on the win. But Mo Adams, Boke, like, this cat basically gets out the car and come plays in a match, like, as soon as he gets here. How impressed were you with the way that he played on such short notice?
Yeah, not only off the car, but off the plane, really. I think he arrived to Atlanta about 11:30 the night before. But we are short for bodies. We've had the injury bug, so it was great. He had a great attitude, came on, was able to help us close out the game and get a few guys some rest.
Talking with Carlos Bocanegra as we get ready for DC United Sunday at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 3:30 pregame on 92.9 The Game, kick at 4 o'clock. Well, here, through all of it, we were saying this, Carlos, you know, through all of this, through all the trials, the tribulations, the tired legs, the this, the that, you wake up this morning and realize, you know what, we're alone in second place, and one more win, and we're knocking on the door of taking the lead in the East.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I mean, there's some ups and downs. We talk about this on the show all the time, right? You can't get too high, you can't get too low. You've got to weather the storm. Look, we've had a few bad performances in there that, you know, we realize that and we've got to get better. but you can't let those get you down and kind of sulk on those for the whole season. So, yeah, we're in a good spot. You know, we're within striking distance, and we've still got a lot of time to play in the rest of the season.
You know what, Boca, for the whole season, you have not complained about the hand that you've been dealt. You haven't complained about the CONCACAF. You haven't complained about the injury. You haven't even complained about the schedule. And you're still in second place right now. So I'm going to give you this moment right now. If you want to vent and tell people how you really feel, like, you got a few minutes, you could do that, man, because I commend you for that. You've never come on the station with us and not once have you complained about anything. But if you want to do it right now, man, here, take the time out and just, you know, just have at it.
I appreciate the platform here. Not like everybody, like we knew we were getting into. You know, we're not the only team that has a lot of games, and that's just how the schedule is nowadays. So we've got to get used to it. It's all part of it. And I will say, you know, the guys have been doing a really good job mentally fighting through here. Coach is doing a good job pushing these guys. Even, like I said, we bounced back from a tough result in Seattle. You know, tough kind of ending to the game the New York Red Bull game at home. But look, you know, like you said, we're still sitting in a good spot on the table. So I'm not going to sit here and complain on your guys' morning show, man.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about some of the good things here. Talk to me about how hot Joseph is. 10 goals in his last six games. He's on a six-game MLS start goal-scoring streak. He is back to being that kind of guy, hunting down the golden boot again, potentially, that kind of guy that was the MVP last year.
Yeah, he's been in great form, obviously, six games in a row. You know, I think he's made it a point to go out and chase Vela. He doesn't want anybody taking his scoring record away from him. He's just a competitor. And, you know, something that people don't realize is he's very brave. You know, he gets all the highlights of when he cuts the goalie and chops him and scores the beautiful goals. But you see on that last goal when Julian played a nice ball over the top into him, he sees that goalie coming out at him. He knows he's going to get clattered. He knows he's going to get smashed. But he still puts his head in there, scores, and takes the beating afterwards. So, you know, that's a whole other kind of aspect that you can't teach that. That's just bravery and, you know, something that goes along with his competitiveness and his technique. So it makes him such a complete striker.
You know, you think about the guys that in the game, Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United, who are great headers of the ball, and in American history, for example, it'd be a guy like Alexi Lawless. But you think of guys that are 6'3", 6'4", I mean, the guys that can, you know, that elevate, that are big and strong. Joseph's kind of a little guy, and yet he's one of the best headers of the ball we've ever seen. What is the unique talent that he possesses that makes him such a good header of the ball?
Well, I think, one, he's aggressive, and he wants to win that ball every time. But his timing and movement are fantastic. He's got that ability to leap and kind of hang in the air, but he has great timing to catch it at the high point. You know, he'll peel off the back of a defender's shoulder, or he'll beat him to the near post. And then, look, that bravery. You got to be able to stick your head where it's going to hurt sometimes. And you know, he's had the broken nose. He's smashed this last game. It's been a few times. So I think that's a big part of it as well. You look at the guys like a Brian McBride, who was fantastic in the air for U.S. national team, mm-hmm. and with Fulham with me over there. I mean, I don't know how many broken sockets and face and cheekbones this guy's had. So it's just all part of it, and you can't teach that, like I said.
Carlos Bocanegra joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90, time the game.
There's been some reports that George Bello and Ezekiel Barco, they've been in training. So how are they looking, and is it possible that we can see them this weekend?
Yeah, we'll see. They're out here right now. I'm watching both of them at training. It's great to see them back out on the field. It's a nice boost for us. You know, both of them have been out, George, for a significant amount of time, and we just want to make sure they're healthy. So we want to get them in, get them training. It's about their confidence, about their fitness levels as well, and then it's going to add another boost to the team. So I don't have an exact timetable on them, but obviously – they're out at training full go with the boys, so it's a really good sign.
You know, Carlos Bocanegra, there might be a bright side to the injuries that this team has had to deal with this year, in that you've had to go out and make, we talk about Hyman coming in and now Mo Adams, make moves, and of course, maybe the biggest move this team has made was Justin Merrim in terms of the impact that he's had on the offense, the veteran coming into the club. And in that, you have been able to add a lot of depth to your bench and to give a lot of flexibility to Frank DeBoer into the shape of the team and to the style of attack that he wants to use going forward. So as these guys, Tito and Barco, get healthy in terms of just focusing maybe on the front half and the attack, there are a lot of different things that he can do that will, you know, have a lot of guys that were rested bringing in stars off the bench that will benefit you.
Yeah, there should be big impact guys. And, you know, for us, it was all about trying to bring in some guys that could help. And then when everybody is healthy, have great competition. So this is going to be a real selection headache for Frank. But it's also, it's great competition, right, in the spot. So it's who's going to be able to play this week. Like you said, we have a lot of flexibility. But a lot of credit to Justin. You know, even Mo coming off the bench has been quick the other night. And Emerson has done well. But these guys have really, really done a great job and are going to make it difficult for Frank when the full team is healthy, so to speak, to who's going to get on the field. But, you know, that's us. Little marginal gains everywhere we can get, competition at every spot. We want to win the title, and that's only going to help us.
Yeah, we're talking about Atlanta United as they face DC United, coming off a 5-0 win over the Houston Dynamo. You know, sometimes you don't take advantage, and we know that earlier in the year of the 10-man, and they did take advantage. They switched to a 3-5-2, which seemed to be really effective for them, and we'll see if Frank DeBoer wants to use that more in the mix. But, you know, there are times where, you know, you can get teams, and we've seen this, that bunker against you, and no matter what you try to do, you can't break them down. But, boy, this team was able to break those guys down something fierce.
Yeah, it was a good performance, and it's still hard, you know, but we were able to score the 5 goals, and it doesn't always happen like that, as you guys know. So, yeah, you cherish that one. It was nice. It was a good spirits around the club, and now we just need to build off of that.
You're talking with Carlos Bocanegra. DC United comes in. Been a thorn in your side ever since we started. We know that. They were a thorn in your side from the jump. So they're right behind you now. I mean, the importance of these games ahead, and you can't get caught looking ahead, because that's the big issue. I mean, you're going to get some time off after Sunday, but we all know where you're headed. I mean, the players know that you're going out to L.A. to face that team. Okay, so you've got to really lock in here. Is that a difficult thing, or are you guys able to stay, considering the past here in this moment, and go out after D.C. United?
No, for us, D.C., you know, they're one of the challengers in the East alongside us, so it's a big game for us here this Sunday. Going out to L.A., it seems like miles away. It's only not really a break. We play them Friday, so we only get kind of that 4-day week, so to speak, leading up to it. But no, that's not on the mind right now. We just had a game Wednesday. We have another one here, and they're coming hot and heavy, so you don't really have time to think kind of too far ahead at the moment.
Carlos, we wish you the best of luck on Sunday against DC United, and look forward to maybe starting build on this, maybe a bit of a win streak in the offing like we had right before that international break. Thanks much.
You the man, Carlos.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
That is Atlanta United Technical Director Carlos Bocanegra with his weekly appearance on the morning show with John and Hugh right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the late night. Will Pelagic, Thomas Mott here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United currently sitting at 33 points, third place in the Eastern Conference, 2 behind the next opponent, United. They can leapfrog United with a victory. And if Philadelphia ends up not picking up a point this weekend, they could find themselves tied for first place in the Eastern Conference by the end of the weekend. In the Western Conference, the top two teams in MLS squared off tonight in the Los Angeles Derby.
Is that what they call it now? The LAFC versus the Galaxy?
They call it El Tráfico.
Do they?
That's what they call it.
Really? They actually call it that?
Exactly a thing.
Oh, my gosh. That is too good.
That's exactly a thing.
That is too good.
And probably the most dynamic superstar in all of MLS.
Latin!
Showed out a hat trick for the Galaxy and a 3-2 victory over LAFC. Of course, LAFC leading the entirety of MLS with 46 points. The Galaxy now with 37. They have themselves a victory, and they win it 3-2. Over LAFC. That's going to be a very interesting situation going into the Western Conference postseason.
Zlatan's quotes are always the best. I see one right here. He says, "I don't need to dream. I am the dream." You can hear him saying that.
He said also that the regular season means nothing.
Oh, well. I mean, listen, he has a point. As long as you get to the playoffs in the regular season, doesn't mean anything, because you can win the playoffs and you're good to go.
That's why he, I guess, you know, again, takes a very laissez-faire attitude to the regular season.
He's hilarious. Like, I have zero problems with his quote-unquote cockiness, because to me it's not cockiness, because, like, we know he's joking, but at the same time we don't. And it's just like, is he really like that in real life, or is he just doing it for the cameras? I don't know, but Zlatan being Zlatan to me is just fine.
We spent a lot of time earlier on the Braves' victory 4-3 over Washington to give them the victory, get themselves back on the winning track. A walk-off single by Josh Donaldson wins it in the ninth inning after Luke Jackson blew it in the top half of the ninth inning. Also in the world of baseball, Thomas, the Seattle Mariners flirted with perfection last night. Flirted with perfection. Earlier this evening, if you're thinking about out west, it was Seattle 10, the Angels nothing. It's funny, the Angels always around these no-hitters slash perfect games. It was Mike Leake who took a perfect game into the ninth inning only to give up a leadoff single. Luis Rengifo was the guilty party there.
I don't remember getting an ESPN app notification that that this was in the ninth inning, because always ESPN will notify you, hey, you know, perfect game alert, no hitter alert, and then whenever you talk about it, it gets broken up.
Again, this comes exactly a week after the Angels combined no hitter that took place, of course, with the
Tyler Skaggs
first game back off the All Star break. So, like I said, funny we find the Angels, not funny, but. I guess ironic that we find the Angels in this situation on the opposite side here on a week later, but Seattle unable to close a deal. All right, we'll come back on the other side and bring you Caleb Johnson's sports update, and then he will bring us his popular segment,
Love
News
segment.
You Can Lose.
It's gonna be fun.
This is going to be one that tests Thomas and my lingo.
Oh, no.
When it comes to the world of 2019.
Maybe it's not going to be a good segment.
Might make us look very bad. Because Caleb has promised us something that could possibly embarrass the two of us.
Oh, every single time he does this. Why do I keep bringing him back on?
Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And 92thegame.com live inside the Kia studios right now. It is a late night show. Thomas Mott, Will Pelagic hanging out with you guys. Teased it during the last segment. One of the favorite segments I do on my show, Ready or Mott. We're doing it tonight for fun. Caleb Johnson doing the sports flashes tonight. Coming in with his segment, News You Can Lose. Always a fun topic that you bring in, Caleb. First off, man, Braves game tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's it feels like it's been a busy week.
It has been a busy week.
But it's good to finally get back together and get to do one of these segments.
The band is back. The band is back.
Yeah, Will and I, this is our first show back together in a while. And so I remember we did his first show on 92.9. We did a News You Can Lose. So now do it again. What do you got for us?
All right. Well, the first thing I wanted to get into, and it's kind of sad, but also, I don't know, thinking about this guy makes me really happy.
Yeah.
And that is... Stuart Scott. Mm. So today, Stuart Scott would have been 54 years old.
So sad.
Yeah. So long time ESPN anchor. Look, the thing that I love about Stuart is he is like one of my first memories of sports.
Literally mine too.
Growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
And I get that ages us.
Yeah.
But at the same time.
Yeah, it does age both of you. Yeah,
I'm sorry, but it is the case. Like, but the thing about Stuart made sports cool. Like, just with the way that he talked about them, with who he decided to talk to, he just made sports cool. He coined phrases like cooler than the other side of the pillow, and the big catchphrase, or catch word, I don't know however you want to say it, but booyah. Like, that's just, I remember that. Throughout, you know, when SportsCenter was really SportsCenter.
He was one of the first guys who kind of started, you know, not riding the tricycle, but basically, like, he went out to jet camp, and that's how he ended up getting blind, because he ended up getting hit in the eye with a football. But, like, you know, we see all these guys kind of going out and doing these interactive segments, and, you know, he was kind of one of the first to do that and sort of break the old rules of journalism, which I found fascinating, and was part of the risk-taking nature, risk-taking style. I found it interesting watching his career arc, and like I said, sad that he's no longer with us.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, he wrote his book, Every Day I Fight, and while most people probably see that book and think, you know, oh, this is like a memoir of him talking about his life or whatever, no, he gives some really interesting journalism tactics or just... help for future journalists. I read that book when I was a freshman at Georgia State, and like, especially when he talks about how to ask questions and how to phrase questions where you're not getting the standard talk about such and such and such and such. And
I hate talk about.
Yeah. Well, every true journalist should hate that. But It's interesting how many people in our business will still do it. But anyways, I found his book really interesting. And the thing I wanted to kind of put a spin on this news you can lose this week and turn the fact that Stuart Scott was known for his funny, I guess, vocabulary and phrases and things that he would say. Well, I saw a video today that made me think, you know what, in Stuart's honor, I'd like to test you guys. I'd like to test your knowledge on current slang. There was a video that came out today. It was posted of James Harden. He's in a sports store.
Yeah.
And I think it's like an academy or something like that. And anyway, there's a girl.
Makes sense.
That there's a girl that's there, and she's like videoing herself on selfie mode. And she's, you know, just like wanting to be in the same frame as James Harden. And it's, I don't know, it annoys me like how people do this, where they like want to be in the same frame and talk to you through the like the selfie mode thing.
There was a girl who tried to do that with him in bed once. That was not fun.
Ooh, okay. Well, you know, well,
moving right along.
We'll keep going. You know, yeah. So
it actually happened. It was on Insta.
I know what you're talking about. So anyway, so this girl is selfie mode talking to James Harden, and well, here, I'll play the sound for you.
Oh my God, bro! I ain't gonna lie, I'm the biggest fan of all.
That's Cap.
Who capping? Oh, okay.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Look at you.
Okay, I did not catch the word
capping, right?
Yeah. So yeah, James, James Harden looks at the girl in the video and goes, "You capping?" And she turns around and looks at him.
Yeah, she like freaked out.
Yeah, because she's like, "Who capping?" And anyway, so I thought this would be interesting to test your slang knowledge.
I'm guessing that means that she was creeping a little bit, maybe.
No,
I have no idea.
So, over your head. So you've never heard anyone say no cap.
No. Tell me this is a Stuart Scott phrase.
No. Absolutely not. No. But this is like, I don't know, this is the kind of thing that I think Stuart would kind of keep up with, because
I've heard of like shooting referring to like capping.
Yes.
I
was very afraid that that was the direction that this conversation would go. No. No cap means like I'm not lying. Like,
oh,
you lying? Like, no,
really?
No cap. Yeah.
Really? So, like, I'm your biggest fan, and she's like, no capping? No, who's capping?
Yeah, so, like, he's essentially being like, you're a liar.
Yeah,
I'm gonna pin that one and use it at a party.
Yeah, so for people listening right now, this is really hard to talk to. Well, look, we're three white guys, and so I try to stay up with, like, current phrasing and vernaculars.
You don't have to blame. You can just blame it on the millennials. Just blame the millennials.
Yeah, but it's really funny trying to explain this to Thomas and Will.
What's so funny about this whole video is that he's, like, in an academy, right?
And
so
everyone
runs and buys basketballs still in their, you know, box enclosure to get him to sign it. Like, he can't even walk through the academy because everyone's handing him this stuff. It's got to be so annoying.
It brings me to a question of what's more important to you guys when it comes to, like, your favorite sports idols? Is it an autograph or a photo?
Picture.
100%
picture,
a picture.
Picture.
So, because it's that proof that, like, you were there,
plus,
that it wasn't somebody
like
else?
Asking for an autograph is so very invasive, and because I think, too, so many of these guys have separate deals, they're just very inclined to say no. But if you get a picture, I mean, that's not like something you could resell on the internet. It's more personal that way.
Yeah, and especially in a time of social media, like throwing it up on my Instagram, to me, is a bigger deal than having a signed basketball sitting in my closet or sitting on my shelf. You know, like, I get that there are some important signatures. Like, you have Michael Jordan's signature or Peyton Manning's signature. I have Tim Tebow's at my house. Like, it's cool, but
randomly saw Noah Syndergaard at a Dallas Mavericks game in December, took a selfie with him, took literally 20 seconds, and he was very cool about it.
Yeah, and then you have that photo forever.
It's forever.
Well, that's interesting, because that's what I wondered, is with all these people bringing basketballs to James Harden in the video, whereas this girl, although, like, and she even got an interaction with James Harden that she can keep forever. She will forever have this moment of saying, I'm your biggest fan, and he goes, No cap, you know, and
no capping.
And it's unbearable almost to an extent to talk to you guys and you use the word back to me, but it's great.
There's a story in San Antonio whenever the Admiral, David Robinson, would go to any sort of academy. Like, if he's ever spotted, and I've met the guy, and he's obviously massive, right? If you ever spot him in an academy, they instantly sell out of basketballs because everyone runs to buy a basketball to have the Admiral sign it. It's just like, can this guy go anywhere? And, like, there are many celebrities who can hide with, like, a ball cap and sunglasses or a hoodie, but when you're David Robinson, and you're, like, 9 feet tall. He's not that tall, but he's very, very tall. Like, there's no hiding, right? Everyone knows.
The news is that David Robinson still goes to a sporting goods store and doesn't shop online.
That's a great point as well.
Yeah, I can't figure out what James Harden was doing here, but we'll...
Maybe it was a promotional appearance.
It could be. It could be. We'll move on to the next thing that I saw that is a bit concerning, especially being in Atlanta. Did you guys hear about the Sheraton Hotel in Atlanta shutting down?
Not at all. No.
Yeah, so... Hopefully we don't have a sponsorship deal with them, but...
I was at a Sheraton in Charlotte earlier today. It seemed fine.
Yeah, well, apparently guests at the Sheraton in Atlanta were sickened with Legionnaire's disease.
Ooh.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay.
It's bad.
I had to look it up. Legionnaire's disease is caused by the Legionella bacteria, which is found naturally in freshwater environments like lakes and streams. And this is according to the CDC. It becomes a health concern when it grows and spreads in human-made building water systems.
Oy.
So apparently it got in, like, the hot tubs or air conditioning units, and it's caused a big problem. They're shutting down the hotel till August 11th.
I know this about, I don't know much about medicine, but I know if you have a possessive that it's next to your disease, it's not a good thing.
Who swims in hotel pools anymore these days besides, like, parents bringing their kids to tire them out? Like,
I would back up on that because I know quite a few people.
Yeah, but
who,
you guys wouldn't do it, right?
Sure, why not?
Well, I'm not a big swimming guy, so.
I'm not above swimming in a hotel pool, especially if it's a nice enough pool. I'm like, again, like a nice hotel like a Sheraton.
Okay. But like a Motel 6 or like a.
I wouldn't step a foot in one of those.
Yeah, well, okay.
Much different.
Yeah, so anyways,
luxury hotel.
So okay. Legionnaire's disease, Legionnaire's disease, it's a lung infection.
Yes.
So it's like really, it's causing people to get really sick. And they're apparently still trying to determine the source of the outbreak, but they are shutting it down until at least August 11th. So be careful when you're swimming in hot tubs or pools. But thankfully this can't get spread around. It can't go person to person.
Okay. Well, at least
it's not contagious.
Right. It's not contagious. Still though, like there are so many stories of like people going to Florida and getting a flesh eating bacteria and like passing away the next day. Like,
you make a risk every time you leave your house.
That's true. There you go. That's news you can lose. Caleb, always appreciate it. Always, there's always something fun and something different. That's why we do it. We'll take one final break here, and we'll come back, and we'll reset to the end of the show, actually, and we'll be throwing it to the CBS National Network. Again, one final break, and then we're back. Keep it right here. It is Late Night Show. Thomas Mont, Will Pelagic, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.
Big weekend of Atlanta sports. Atlanta taking on the Washington Nationals in Major League Baseball. Series now tied at a game apiece after the walk-off win tonight by the Braves 4-3. Atlanta United, D.C. United, 2-3 of the Eastern Conference. And we're two sleeps away from training camp.
Just
of course,
two.
Coverage of Sunday's game between Atlanta United, D.C. United, 3:30. The pregame 4 o'clock kick right here on 92.9 The Game. Final thought?
Well, actually, I am the show after the Atlanta United game on Sunday. I have a show tomorrow, 6 to 9, and you have a show 9 to midnight.
So I am the show after the show.
There we go.
After the show.
Big shows tomorrow night. Let's just say that. Tune in.
We're having a lot of fun as we enjoy it as well. Our thanks to Dylan, who produced for us here. Killed us as always. And we'll turn it over to the fine folks, CBS Sports Radio on the overnight. Till tomorrow with you and tomorrow evening with me, we say so long from the Kia Studio, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com, and the radio.com app.
See you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.